Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
First and goal from just inside the three-yard line. Ahmed remains the running back. Collins in motion. Two of the throw, corner of the end zone, touchdown,
got it.
Parker. It's Tua time.
Hey, you talked about timing. Looks like Devontae got both those feet in that time. Last week he had one where he couldn't get the second foot down, but this time, what a nicely thrown football.
Parker's fourth touchdown of the year. See if he gets both feet down.
He sure did.
From the Dolphin 20-yard line. They hand it to Gordon. Gordon off right side. Big hole, 10-5. Touchdown, Broncos.
Wow. That was a big hole.
Just too
touched.
Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're running the ball with confidence. And
a 20-yard run by Gordon, his second touchdown of the afternoon.
And a lot of guys getting blocked one-on-one.
Keep running to the right, to the right side. And made things a lot easier for Locke, that's for sure. Trips to the left, Grant to the right, back to throw. Gets it off, and it's intercepted. He wanted to go to Parker, but Justin Simmons stepped in front and made the interception in the end zone.
This ball was forced.
The field is interception, touchback. First down, Denver.
This ball was forced. That wasn't the place to go with the football.
They're one of their best players. Justin Simmons makes a nice play, but waiting on it.
First turnover of the afternoon for the Dolphins.
Yeah, he threw it right into safety, just sure baiting him right there in the middle of the field.
Double coverage.
Yeah.
He's rolling to his right, throws it as far as he can, and actually throws it inbounds, and it's caught.
Holy
smokes.
Does
it much matter? No, but it was caught by Tim Patrick. Goodness sakes.
I think Drew Locke's in shock. He meant to throw out of bounds and ended up being completed.
Well, that's the end of the football game. The Broncos win it 20-13. The Dolphins' winning streak is over.
No, Tua wasn't injured. We just felt like it was the best move at that point in the game. We had to get in a two-minute mode, and we just felt like he gave us the best chance to win the game, which we had an opportunity at the end.
Yeah, my thoughts were whatever was going to be best for the team. We couldn't – well, when I was in, we couldn't really get things going. And, Coach felt like it was the best decision to put Fitz in to try to give us a spark. So when I heard that, it's really what's best for the team. And, if we were to win with Fitz in there, the locker room would be a lot different. Everyone would be a lot happier. It just sucks to lose.
It's very clear this is Tua's team, and Tua's going to continue to get better and grow. And so for me, my defined role right now is whatever Coach Flo and whether the team needs out of me. And today was different than the last few weeks in that he needed me to go out there and try to move the ball and provide a spark. But the few weeks before that, it really was just full support mode on Tua. And even in a game like today, when I'm out there, I'm still talking with Tua on the sideline, and we're going through stuff and just trying to get him, to see what I'm seeing and why I'm doing the things I'm doing. So, it's such a tough position to play, and you're just going to continue to learn, and it's going to be a bumpy road, but you just hope that the things that you learn, you put them in the back and you make a catalog in the back of your head and you continue to get better.
Oh, that mental catalog, man. Got to get that sucker ready to go because Coach Flo, Tua, and Fitzy just added to what ended up being a bad loss and actually had a chance to come back and at least tie the game up, make it real interesting after really getting kicked around pretty good in that game. We say good morning to everybody. Couple of days away from Thanksgiving. Can never be a bad week, even after a really disappointing loss, especially after the way it started. The X-Man gets a pick. play on that short field, little 20-something yard touchdown drive. You're like, man, I can get used to this. We're getting spoiled. But it ended, and that would be it. And, of course, fourth quarter is where it all opened up for our industry called radio because the Dolphins made the switch to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who got him rolling and actually took him on a long drive inside the 20. And as crazy as it sounds, had a chance to tie that game up, or even if Coach Flo was feeling it, I don't think he would have, go for two and try to end it on the road. But just a crazy game. So, well, hell, what are we waiting for? Guys, I say good morning to you.
Good morning. What did
you think about the decision to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick in the fourth quarter?
I wasn't feeling it at first because I didn't want to see Tua come out of the game, even though he was struggling and the offense was really struggling with him at the helm right then and there. I'm just worried now going forward if there are games, especially since you're in the playoff hunt right now, you're still 6-4. It's not like you're out of it at this point. If there's a game 2 games from now, 3 games from now, and the game's on the line and Tua might be struggling again, is this going to be a thing that might happen again where Tua gets pulled again? Because
yes.
We do, and that's what I'm afraid of at this point for Tua. I mean, is it going to hurt his psyche a little bit by keep taking him out if that is the case at the end of these games, if he is struggling? Because it was his fault on a couple of those sacks, holding the ball maybe too long, but he was sacked 6 times. You know, the offensive line was not playing their best ball all season long either. So I don't know really what to think, especially if he would have come back and won this game, because then I really would have been confused on what the going forward is. But he said it after the game. I guess it's still Tua's, you know, starting next week against the Jets. But I still wasn't having it right at first, even though he was struggling.
Well, I just say this for everybody. Everybody's going to have an opinion on what the coach did. He's going to try to win every game. I've said this since he got here. He's everybody's got their development program and they're this and we should get that and this. And he's about winning and having a chance to win every game.
We did say when Tua went in, when Tua was named starter, that it's him now. That you can't just pull him at any point and put the other quarterback in, and it happened. Okay. You know, I know he's about winning games. I know that.
I know we said that, but the coach didn't say
right.
that. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah,
because Coach Flo is not going doing updates with the media and the fan base. He is like, he's gonna try to win the game. Tua was struggling, missed some throws, took some bad sacks, but the offensive line was terrible.
Terrible. Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you were being nice at first. They weren't very good. They were bad across the board.
Right.
And we got pushed around. We actually got pushed around a little bit defensively too. Our line of scrimmage play, I mean, they ran the ball 33 times for 189 yards. I know that's a completely different topic on the other side, but you start talking about a 5.7 average per carry.
Yeah, that's bad.
0 sacks. And even though at the end of the day, people say, you say whatever you want, Joe, they only gave up 20 points. They did it again. They got 2 takeaways, 2 crucial takeaways to keep you in the game, give you the lead on the first one, and the last one, just a great play by Van Ginkle to get the ball back and march down and get some points. So march down and have a chance to tie the game up. So you have that, and they get a fourth down stop again. Even as bad as they were, they get a fourth down stop on 4th and 1, which I think we've seen now almost every game they've done
right,
one of those.
Right.
But between that, they gave up a lot of yards, man, a lot of big runs. They didn't have a lot of pressure, just couldn't get there. Dumping the ball off underneath to out in the flats to the receivers. So they found something. They did a really good job coaching, by the way, to kind of neutralize this thing that we've been going crazy about for over a month, that we got everybody, you know, and all of a sudden Denver puts together a nice little game plan that says, we're going to show you how to neutralize what you guys have been doing to everybody over the last month. And did a nice job. And of course the topic with Tua, I don't think it's going to mess him up. He's kind of got a different makeup to him. It doesn't look like it's going to bother him. And I know everybody's like, oh, my God. And listen, I had a roommate. It bothered. Right. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a roommate that was smoking a pack of cigarettes at night thinking about Don Strock coming in and taking his position, man. I saw it through secondary smoke of like two packs of cigarettes a day. I'm glad I'm here right now to tell you about it. He was smoking and drinking he lost his job, man. It bothered him. So listen, I've seen it, but I got to tell you, my roommate and this guy have nothing in common as far as their mental makeup and their work ethic and all those things. Just a much different situation. But it was really disappointing, man. It really was. I just thought they'd go in there. I thought they'd be in a tight ball game, but 13 points.
Oh, yeah, bad.
And struggled to get first downs and get anything going, and they kept blitzing. And Denver goes, here, we're going to show you guys how to do what you do, but we're going to do it a little bit better today because we're going to get there. The disappointing part that led to Tua's problems is just the line of scrimmage really got manhandled on both sides. It was the first time in a long time where the run game hasn't been good all year, basically. It's been okay at times. It's been livable, but it has not been by any means. I mean, I can't tell you last time we ran for 150, 160 yards and a 5-yard average or broke a long run in there to kind of help all the runs that were stopped on the line of scrimmage.
Right,
we just haven't had them. So it's been frustrating. But we also got a little reality to everybody yesterday that if we play like that, everybody in the league can beat us.
Right. It's true.
So we can put together that, the offense, defense, special teams, when we're playing like we do, we can beat just about anybody, and we have lately. But we also, when we play like that, we play to the Cincinnati's and New York's and Denver's, and they're all going, yeah, I got a chance. But I guess you got to give Denver some credit because they had really good game plans and kept their quarterback after throwing an early interception, and he's an interception machine.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But he had a nice pocket for a lot of that game, got rid of the ball when he needed to, had those outlet receivers to get the ball to who are turning it up and just kept moving the chain. So a lot of stuff to get to, but it will be interesting today, and we'll ask everybody. Because I knew right away, as soon as Ryan Fitzpatrick, I thought, okay, he gave him enough time to maybe win this game. But at the same time, it's going to open a can of worms for everybody from riders to fans to say, what are you doing? You
right.
Let him finish the game. And listen, he was struggling. Missed a throw. He missed two throws right off the top that I would love to have back. He missed Jakeem Grant as he's running couple steps by somebody on one of the mini takeoffs they tried to throw to him. And second of all, Devontae Parker on a crossing route slowed down in a zone, and he threw it out in front of him like he was running full speed. And so they just weren't on the same page, and that stuff can all be corrected. But it was
tough to see it yesterday.
Yeah,
it was live in front of you, right? And it's the fundamental thing that you brought up for 25 years now on the radio is, if you're going to lose the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, you ain't winning the game.
No.
And that's really, if you really forget the quarterback stuff for 1 second, if you really look at it, you summed it up very easily. The difference is that the side dish is the fact that the rookie quarterback got benched. But you got crushed on the defensive line. You got crushed on the offensive line.
Well, that's going to be the thing today while we're going in and, you know, and making sure Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick and the team's got great chemistry, and I'm not worried about that part of it with Coach Flo and the guys they have on the team. But they do have a line of scrimmage problem. Now, they got some great stops and look great at times, and then at other times – there were some holes that were big enough. I haven't seen holes that open since I was 4 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday night. I was coming home from someplace on 95, right. And there was nobody on the road. I mean, right. It was rough. It was rough to see. So
And they have two guys, by the way, that ran the ball that either guy would have been perfect to have on our team, because they just, it looked like they both just hit one of those holes or two of those holes and just zoomed out like they were shot out of the cannon.
Yeah.
Like Philip Lindsay, that one run was only about 20 yards or so, but he got, it was like he got shot out of a cannon through the offensive line.
And yes, those guys, that was a nice 1-2 punch, but they had some big holes to run through. I mean, they had, their offensive line played well. They got after it. They, even when you needed stops, they pushed it down the field. Now we did get some, we got a fourth down stop and got a takeaway inside the red zone to stay in the game, which, by the way, still bottom line. After all those yards, and those yards are going to move you even lower in total defense, but they only gave up 20 points. I mean, you know, whatever you want to say, well, yeah, but it could have been 30. Well, it was 20. I'm looking right now, it says 20. They got a great strip down on the 2-yard line. Van Ginkle's play was just phenomenal. The kid makes one of those every game on a hustle play after having about every penalty called on you on one play that he did, holding tight end and late hit on a quarterback. And I mean, it was a disaster. But he comes back with that play, and that play, those are hard to do, man. Get somebody to fumble 2 yards out, get the ball back, and keep you in it. But offensively, the offensive line, I they took Solomon Kinley out because I guess he's hurt. But they got to get better. And the guards didn't play great, which made it even tougher. When you get pressure right up the middle, your quarterback's got absolutely nowhere to go trying to step up in the pocket. So that was done. Just very, very frustrating. Thinking, and especially after they got up and it was like they looked confused and they danced around. They had to call a timeout before the clock ran out. And I went, oh, my God, they're in their head. This is awesome, showing the dancing seven defensively. And then they calmed him down and got it going, got a little run game going, got some passes for him to complete and get some confidence. He got outside the pocket, and we created a monster, and he really didn't turn the ball over again after Xavien Howard. Although, amazingly, they do throw at Xavien Howard. X-Man might have 10 or 12 interceptions this year because they keep throwing out. I'm not exactly – did you notice they don't throw much at Jones and they throw a lot at X-Man?
Yes. I don't know why, but yes.
And it was Judy, and he covered Judy, honestly. Judy tried to run some takeoffs, and I don't know what X-Man saw, but he ran the takeoffs for him. They tried, like, to run by Xavien 3 or 4 times, and he reads whatever he was studying. It was pretty obvious. He had it covered pretty well. Anyway, hey, we got to go to break here. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. A lot of NBA news. Show me the money was the theme starting on Friday, and it continued through yesterday. Man, if there's a shortage of money in the NBA right now, I did not see it. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, we'll have some of that. Get you caught up. Not a lot of love at midfield before a game yesterday. A lot of stuff to get to here. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. You can always join us, 305-567-0560. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Hey, listen up, man. If you didn't get out there this weekend, then you missed what I've been telling you about with all these great products and great deals to go with it. South Florida Chevy dealers, right now, this is the best it's ever been on cars, trucks, and SUVs. The best overall products, and I mean not just outside with the great look, which it does start. Everybody wants to drive something that looks nice. I've never seen anybody say I'm buying something really ugly that I don't like. But boy, I'll tell you, South Florida Chevy dealers got a beautiful family right now, and I think you're going to love it. Listen, we got some great deals going, especially on the new Tahoes and Suburbans. Got a new look, and we're all pumped up about Big Daddy and Mama because they are looking special these days. But it's so much more, man. It's the new Silverado trucks, all these different beautiful trucks, almost like one of them was custom made for your lifestyle. All the different styles, whether you need a working truck, a family truck, the combo truck, we got it for you, man. You're working now, doing a lot more odd jobs to make a living, no problem, man. We got it for you. Midsize SUVs like the Traverse and the Chevy Blazer, our smaller hottie SUV, the Equinox right now. I could go on and on, but listen, you're going to find out what great overall quality is right now, because South Florida Chevy dealers got it rolling in a big, big way with great deals for you. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
I think there's always things that you want to improve. I think we talk about that, you know, regardless of the outcome of a game. Good, bad, there's problems in every game. It's never been a perfect game. So, you know, there's problems in different areas of, you know, offense, defense, special teams every week. Whether you win or lose, you try to make those adjustments and make those changes and fix things regardless of the outcome. And this week's no different. The only difference is we didn't win the game as opposed to, you know, previous week. So every week we know that there's things we can improve on. We try to improve on them on a daily basis, and we'll continue to do that.
All right, that was Coach Flo talking about his loss to Denver on the road. And he's right. There was a lot more than just a quarterback problem yesterday, as the line of scrimmage was won clearly by the Denver Broncos on both sides of the football, by the way, although the defense was able to still do what they do, give up a lot of yards and get two takeaways and a fourth down stop, which because of that, able to only give up the 20 points, which is just about what they average per game anyway, which should be good enough, right? Even if you don't have your A game, you're still getting outs, even though you're not getting as many strikeouts. And so that should be good enough if you get something going offensively. And the other problem is the fact you just can't run the ball. It's just the three-something average, whether it's 3.3 or 3.6 or 3.5 per carry, is just got to get more balanced. Just right now, especially when you don't have a lot of dominant receivers, you don't. I still think they really miss a number two receiver. I was afraid after Preston went down, even though he's up and down when he's up, he's really good. Losing him for now, there just seems to be a drop-off at the wide receiver position, and it makes it really difficult. And the timing with Tua and Devontae, still not there. You saw Fitzpatrick come in, and I could see Devontae going, all right, now let's get back to what we did the second half of the year last year, Ryan. And, of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick's throwing him quick post patterns and dropping over the top of corners, rolling up and dropping it in before safeties can come over and moving the chains down the field. But, of course, big topic today is going to be overall, there's a lot of different parts to this. And first of all, everybody thought once Tua got the job, it's through the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's still the starting quarterback. And once again, as we all get to know Coach Flo together, I always go back to this. And Zach and I were talking before the show, and I said, I don't know. You worry about his psyche. I didn't like it at the time. And then you go, well, look, he's about one thing, man. He's about winning. And, well, you know, what about his confidence? He's not worried about his confidence. He wants to win games, and he thinks he's strong enough to handle it, which I do too. I don't think Tua is real mentally weak. I think he's strong. I think the relationship with Fitzpatrick and Tua is good, real good. And so you look at what happened, and honestly, Fitzpatrick was 18 yards away from tying that, you know, the right. Safety goes the other way, and we're talking about a tie score probably and going into overtime, or see if you could stop him. There was still a minute left. But
we'd be in a much worse situation this morning, I think, overall, if somehow, some way, Ryan Fitzpatrick – I mean, when I say much worse situation, it would be for team-wise, not just the fact that you get the win, but if they came back, tied that game, went to overtime, and won that game, and it was Fitzpatrick at quarterback and not Tua, we'd be talking about something way different this morning.
Yeah, but I think everybody knew, unless there was an injury, Tua's going to be the starter. I mean, he is going to be, not because that game yesterday, and again, it wasn't all Tua if you watch the offensive line play. So I never thought that, like, Tua's done. You know, he's getting rosened here. I never thought that. I didn't think Flo was going to say, I've seen enough from Tua, we're done. I didn't expect that, win or lose. But the coach just said, hey, man, we need a spark. We're not doing it. And we got a chance to win this game. They haven't blown us out like they should have probably. So let's go ahead and try to win this sucker. And Ryan Fitzpatrick moved it. He's got a real good kicker, obviously, which also helps the situation in tight ball games. So he kicks the long field goal. And then you get the stop and you're 99 yards away with all kinds of time left to go down and tie it up. So anyway, we've been talking all morning. I know not everybody's going to agree. Some people are going to say you got to stick with Tua, although there were no signs that that offense was going to get going. Ryan Fitzpatrick seeing things, obviously, that Tua still doesn't see, which is part of the deal. And again, there's a lot of different things to this. I just think this team is very limited and really needs to upgrade the receiver position.
Yes.
I'd like to see the tight ends used more. I wish there was a way, and I don't understand it, why we can't get Mike Gesicki, because every time the ball's thrown to him, he friggin' catches it every time. Made some more plays yesterday to get it going. And then just lack of big play. I don't know what our longest play from scrimmage was yesterday. It had to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, 20-something yards. When Tua was in there, I can't imagine we had anything longer than 13 or 14 yards. It's hard. Like, you got to have – you watch the red zone, and it's a running big play league.
Right.
Somebody catches it and runs 40. Guy breaks the tackle, runs 35 yards, 27 yards, 20 yards. We're struggling to get 20-yard plays right now.
Yeah, Gesicki had a 25-yard catch. Devontae had a 21-yard catch. And Denver had a 25-yard run, a 20-yard run, a 22-yard catch, a 29-yard catch, and the 61-yard catch by Patrick.
Yeah. So they had their share of big plays yesterday. Right. And
you can't just rotate quarterbacks when Tua's not playing well, though. It's just not something you can do moving forward. I hate the decision yesterday to pull him.
Well,
you gotta give the guy an opportunity to learn, to do, you know, to develop all these different things. It's just a terrible decision. I know everyone says he's mentally tough and all this. I'm sure he is, but you don't know what something like this does to a guy in the back of his mind.
So let me ask you. So now you've been around and seen Tua playing all these games his whole life. You think Tua's going to fall apart after yesterday, getting pulled in the fourth quarter?
I don't know, Joe. I don't know. The next game starts poorly for him. I don't know what's going to happen. That's the problem. And again, like Zach brought up an interesting point. Like if Fitzpatrick goes and scores and ties the game, they eventually win the game. What do you do moving forward? Then you have a situation.
Wasn't going to change.
Okay, but again, you can't. Flores can't have it both ways. You can't say we're going to do everything we can to win and then, you know, play Tua to start the game and switch them. You can't do this stuff.
You can't do it. He can do it. I listen to everybody say he's a coach of the year yesterday. And we can say yes, and that's why we have these shows. But
right. But
he's about winning the game. Like at the end, we get, well, is he okay? Is he going to be all right? Flo sitting over there as a head coach of the Miami Dolphins going, how do I help the whole team win? And his gut started talking to him in the middle of the game. He got a little stomach ache there in the fourth. And he goes, oh, I got the Ryan Fitzpatrick stomach. All right, Ryan, warm up. We got time for a couple of drives. See what you can do. We got to throw it every down here and let's get going. We just can't get anything going. And so, by the way, it wasn't all Tua's fault. I hope everybody understands that by that pass rush that they in lack of running game again that they had. But people go, why? What do you think? I go, he's trying to win games. Flo's trying to win. He did this last year. Like, what's he doing? We got to give Josh Rosen a chance to see what he can do.
But, Joe, when he rolled Tua out there for his first game, he didn't give you the best chance to win. And let's be honest, who gives you the best chance to win in your next game?
No. You that's a terrible example.
But are we going back? What are we going to say? Tua gives you the best chance to win?
You can't throw the Rams game into this thing yesterday. You just can't. Because they dominated every part of the game. They didn't dominate any part of the game yesterday. So that's a terrible example right off the bat. So, listen, if you don't like it, I understand there's going to be other people that didn't like it, but we had no shot. And then that game was just going to be for Tua to get experience and get hit and a deer in headlights yesterday. That is that what you're saying? The fourth quarter, keep him in.
I also don't think there was no shot, Joe. There's no reason why Tua couldn't have, you know.
There's no shot what?
You don't think Tua could have led a drive in that game? There was no shot that he was going to do that? Well, now you won't know, and now you get to figure out. Now next week you can see how your decision paid off when he goes out there if he doesn't struggle.
Well, okay. Well, listen, we'll find out next week on that while you're sitting here. And you know what? I'm going to make you the head coach here pretty soon here and have you bring in guys to make sure they're okay. I was glad we got the guy in there and had a chance to almost tie the game up.
No, benching your brand-new rookie quarterback, Joe, right early in his career when you have a chance to lead a game-winning, a game-tying drive, that's great. That's an awesome decision.
You didn't think it was at least a little questionable, Joe, by benching him?
No.
Okay.
Because Joe's kissing the coach's ass, which is perfectly fine this morning. But, Joe,
I don't even know the coach that well.
Joe, it's an insane decision to bench this guy. I mean – You don't start, Joe. It's his team. I mean, you got to deal with a QB controversy. This whole thing is just a terrible decision.
Ryan, you're the backup, and you're going to be the backup
unless Tua struggles.
If Tua throws a couple of bad passes to start this game, you're in, Fitz. I mean, Tua sucks. Well, you're in.
I got news for you. If we get blown out yesterday, Tua finishes that game, and you're right. If we're losing by 21. And coach starts doing the math in his head there on time and all that stuff, then we don't have this if we don't get a couple of those defensive stops or stop on the fourth down. But I don't know, man.
I just think everything was put to blame on Tua yesterday, and that's the difference.
Anybody just blames Tua yesterday. That's ridiculous.
But the problem is that you benched the quarterback.
Can't run.
You put in a different offensive lineman. You didn't switch that around. I mean, you made a couple moves to take a guy out here and there because maybe they were hurt or whatever. But Tua's the one who paid the price. He got benched.
I mean, Joe? The kid struggled in one game. He played a couple of really good games, and then you're just gonna bench him when he struggles.
I'm just telling you, the offensive line was terrible.
Right.
Yesterday.
So it wasn't just Tua, but Tua benched.
I've been saying, but you can get rid of all five offensive linemen. I got to bench you. You only got eight guys.
Instead, you'd bench your rookie quarterback.
No, listen, if you
It's unbelievable you'd come in this morning and defend a move to bench that guy. It's just unbelievable to me.
I don't know why you think that, man.
In a one-score game, a chance where he's got a chance to lead a tying drive down the field.
Wait a sec.
No, you have to let him fail, Joe. You can't protect him from failing.
Wait a sec. Go back and do your math. What was that again? How much? We're down. It was a two-score game.
It was 20 to 10.
20 to 10.
Yeah.
Well, you just get – there was a field goal, and then there was the 90 ball on the one. So there was more than just one drive. If it's a one-drive game and two is still in, then it's, I think – different game. I don't think he's going to go, hey, Tua, you're out. You're out because you're backed up. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We'll find out what everybody's thinking. 305-567-0560. I haven't seen the coach, by the way, very much. Matter of fact, I haven't seen him in like a year to kiss his ass. Anyway, we got a lot more to get to. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
560 The Joe wants to see you at a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of our friends at Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more information on them, go to fincu.com. But if you want a chance to win those tickets, those Dolphin tickets at Hard Rock Stadium, log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
We were talking during the break about what took place yesterday and people over the top when their team loses and blaming a player with death threats. It really is amazing. And I get we take our sport seriously. That's why we have a job. But it is amazing that people get so upset when their team loses or fantasy football gets hurt or gamblers get hurt, that you decide, you send somebody a tweet telling them they suck, you hate them, and you hope they die. it really is amazing. And I know it's part of social media. I'm aware of when people disagree with you, something you say, or when you have a lot of followers, or they're just mad at you and they decided you're the reason we lost. Nobody else, just you.
Right.
It's amazing. We had some crazy stuff, by the way, in the NFL yesterday. How about the whole thing yesterday with Tennessee and Baltimore?
Yep.
And the celebration before the game that saw two coaches almost go at it in Harbaugh and Vrabel. Tennessee was out on – and by the way, the Tennessee players jumped right over to Harbaugh too. They were like letting them have it. Like, you're not my coach. And Harbaugh, and then didn't shake hands afterwards and end up being a hell of a game on top of it. Tennessee came back and beats Baltimore. So it was just a wild, crazy, crazy game there yesterday. So a lot of crazy stuff, and we had our own craziness in Denver, especially when the coach ends up putting Ryan Fitzpatrick in the fourth quarter after Tua and his offense. And by the way, I make it real clear, that game was not just a Tua problem yesterday.
Right. Right.
Offensive line, run. He had his moments and probably could have got rid of the ball on a couple. Missed a couple receivers. But, boy, you are limited when you can't run it at all. And, man, they are really, really struggling in their running game. I mean, our backs are getting picked up and body slammed the other way on some of these runs now. So, anyway, it'll be an interesting one. I'm sure today, with everybody's thoughts, we'll have Armando Salguero join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Talk to him about yesterday as Dolphins, first time they played that bad in a long, long time, especially on offense and defense on the line of scrimmage, the defensive line. So how do you guys look at the D yesterday while we're talking about the offense and Fitzpatrick and Tua? The D gives up. The Denver runs it 33 times, most of them between their two running backs, for 189 yards and a 5.7 average with zero sacks.
Right.
But they only give up 20 points because they get two takeaways and they get a fourth down stop, which is like a takeaway down in the red zone. So basically, they come up with some big plays. So they only give up in that crazy where you felt like you got your you-know-what kick pretty good.
Right, right.
They only give up 20 points. So how do you look at the defense yesterday?
Well, it's the same way we've kind of looked at the defense the last couple of weeks, because what's been kind of the overall kind of, I guess, common denominator in all these wins is the fact that they're giving up a ton of yards, but they're not giving up a lot of points. And they basically, to a point, did that yesterday, but the offense has been better the last couple of weeks. And outside of that, the defense has either gotten a score or gotten them right in position the last couple of weeks too. And the special teams was a lot better and got them in position or scored a touchdown. So this kind of was the same blueprint of what the last 5 or 6 weeks sort of looked like, you know, because you gave up a ton of yards, you've given up 400 plus yards, yet you're not giving up a ton of points and you're winning those games. So it could have went any way. I didn't see that much different from the defense outside of the fact that it just looked like the defensive line didn't have the same grip it had the last couple weeks. Because Xavien's there. It just feels like every single game I'm getting a Xavien pick. Doesn't matter. You pointed out something good this morning or something, you know, that I noticed but maybe wasn't noticed, the fact that they're just not throwing the ball towards Jones at all. Maybe once or twice a game you see a throw that way. But it almost seems like they're picking on X-Man a little bit. And there's once a game where I feel like he's at least going to get one pick or two.
Well, they keep going after him.
Right.
The way they do, although yesterday I think he got his in a zone coverage where he had just dropped back and quarterback didn't see him for some reason. You know the other thing is too, defensively, they had some penalties and all of a sudden they got a second and 22 on a touchdown drive. You're thinking the Dolphins defense going to get off the field when they got second and 22?
100%.
And instead, Denver wipes it out plus and goes down and scores after. And that's usually their time to really get tee off and get there and really get after it. And it just didn't happen. But listen, saying all that, offensively, just.
You can't get crushed the way they did on the offensive line yesterday and expect to win a game. Because they got crushed.
if you don't get whatever you got from Ryan Fitzpatrick there and his 117 yards passing in the fourth quarter, I mean, those numbers are really, really ugly. They're flirting with 100 yards of offense.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was, and again, wasn't all Tua's fault. Not with the way that offensive line, the offensive line couldn't pick up basic games, those cross games where when a defense lineman comes inside, the other comes around him to the outside.
Right. Yeah, a little stunt, right? Isn't that,
and,
whatever
and the
is,
Dolphins yeah. just kind of, two guys would go block the one guy and leave a big hole for another guy to come inside. And it was just wasn't a good look for the offensive line.
Joe, six sacks. You could stop there. You can't give up six sacks in the game. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It was.
Whether you're blaming the quarterback on some or the offensive line for the other, I'm not saying you personally, but just in general, when you go back and look at tape and you want to say, okay, held on to the ball too long here, that's fine, or the offensive line just whiffed on this one. You give up six sacks in the game, you're getting an F grade on the offensive line. I don't care. I don't care as a group, individually, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a lot more to get to here. 7 o'clock hour's coming up. 305-567-0560.
It's swollen, Joe, for you.
Dolphins go down hard yesterday in an ugly one. Ugly one against Denver, who was just kind of hanging around waiting for you to kind of come back. Just they could have put it away, but they just like, nah, we want to see if you guys can come back on us like everybody else has been doing. All right, we'll go to break, get back. 305-567-056. We'll jump in a couple of your text messages. A lot of stuff going on. By the way, I don't know how to fit the NBA in after all the stuff yesterday. Man, there were a lot of dudes that got paid Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll get you caught up on the Miami Heat and their free agent moves as well. Some players they kept, some they didn't. Some new guys that they have and looking even better potentially defensively. Hey, right now, I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries. I hope we didn't have any yesterday. I hope we're okay. But listen, sooner or later, whether you play a team sport or individual sport, bottom line is you're probably going to get hurt at some point. Everybody does, right? Then you want to go to the best doctors. Then you want to go somebody that's had great experience, that works on athletes at every level, high school, college, and professional athletes, as well as just people like myself that just like go out and play our favorite sports on the weekend or at night or whatever. Well, bottom line is this. It sure is nice to have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country right here in our backyard, Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, actually was ranked one of the top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. I always like to say that. And then people ask me, well, where do the pros go if they're so good? I go, well, I will tell you, Doctors Hospital and their doctors take care of Inter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins to start with, FIU, Dade County High School Sports. I mean, they're taking care of a lot of athletes. And I tell everybody in Palm Beach, I tell guys in Broward when they get injured, go over there. Got a nice facility. Dr. Swartzen's here in Broward running the program over there along with all the other doctors. Listen, you want to get great results. Everybody wants to get back out, get healthy as quickly as possible. If you need a surgery, you want to get it done. Again, it's all about recovery. Get back out playing the sport you love. And you want to go to doctors that have great experience and great success. And that's what you're going to get from some of the top doctors in the country that are working at Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute. You can see them. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.